2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verse 11 down through verse 18 tonight and considering the truth of being separated unto Christ. We realize that Jesus Christ is to be the center of all that we do as a believer. Jesus Christ came in love to this vile and this wretched earth, that he who is holy might save us who violated his law. But God chose in his own volition through Jesus Christ to seek and save those who were sinful. It is by the Lord's sacrifice that we were cleansed from our sin, and that home in heaven which we so look forward to, that day when we will see him face to face, has been afforded to us. It should be no surprise then, as we come to the study of the New Testament scripture, that the believer is challenged over and again to live lives that are holy, separate from sin. Jesus Christ came to save us from sin, and he came to save us that we might serve him, to give our life for him, a living sacrifice. And therefore, he bids us to live a life separated unto Christ. The problem is, in our modern culture today, we feel very enlightened. We feel that we are no longer, or the thought or the challenge is no longer needed for us to separate from this world that once ensnared us. So we believe that we are beyond that in our own lives. Yet the reality is, there is a need for all of us to live still today separated unto Jesus Christ. Perhaps no greater illustration is found for us in history with the foolishness of refusing to separate from the secular from the sacred than that which we find in the life of Lot. If you were to look at the life of Lot, you're going to find one who was truly a fool, because Lot forsook the admonition to separate from this world. F.B. Meyer wrote of the need of the believer to separate themselves from those who are apostate. And as he does so, he reminds us of the life of Lot and the foolishness of Lot. Notice what he said. The place from which we can exert the strongest influence for good is not from within, but from without. Lot lost all influence of his life in Sodom, but Abraham, from the heights of Mamre, was able to exert a mighty influence in history. God would have you and I live lives as believers, individually, as families, and as a church, separated unto Christ. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 11. We'll read down through verse 18, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Paul writes and says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray, please. Father, we ask and pray that as we come to this passage tonight, that you would help us see the value, the importance of living a life separated unto Christ. There are many today who are refusing such a concept or thought. Yet, Father, I believe your word teaches us the necessity and the importance of living separated lives. It's important for the church. It's important for every family and every life. So, Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word tonight. We'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this passage tonight, we're going to do something slightly unorthodox. We're going to study it backwards. Usually you would start at verse 11 and you would study down through verse 18. We're going to do the reverse tonight. We're going to go from verse 18 and we're going to work our way back to verse 11. Because I want you to see the thought and the teaching here that Paul is giving. And I trust that you'll see the logical progression and the necessity for a life separated unto God. In verses 17 and 18, Paul gives us the reason for our separation. He tells us very clearly why we are to separate, or what the need is for us to separate from the Lord. He lays out this challenge for us with a very specific reason in mind. Look with me in verse 17, and as you do so, notice with me the call for separation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul, without apology, without reserve, calls for the church to come out from the world, to separate themselves from it. Now, folks, if you look at verse 17, I don't think there's any misunderstanding as to what Paul was seeking to say. I don't think you can misinterpret at all what his words are. Paul says, come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There is a clear command for the believer, and that command is to come out from this world. Now, folks, that word come out implies that we are now back into this world. There was a problem in the church at Corinth. They had slipped back into the ways of the world. Jesus Christ came and he saved them. He brought them out of this world. He gave them a new home and he gave them a new hope. Yet these people had gone back into and had become comfortable again with the things of this world. And so there is a very clear command, come out. The implication is they had gone back in. And Paul says, you must come out, not to become part of this world again. And then he says, separate yourselves from this world. That implies that there ought to be a distinction between the ungodly and the godly. We are to come out from this world and be separate. If I am separate from you, there is something that makes that distinction, that difference. God wants his people, God wants his church, God wants your life and your family to be distinct from this world. And so the command is given, come out and be separate from the world. The problem today is we live again in an enlightened culture. We live in an age where the church today believes that we should wipe away the lines of distinction, the lines that ought to divide and lines that ought to separate. We want to just muddy everything together. We want to and to make it all one. But God says there ought to be a distinction. We live in a world today that wants to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to appearance. The world shouldn't look any different from the church, and the church shouldn't look any different from the world. Yet, folks, the world ought to be able to look upon you and look upon me. By the way that we appear, know that we belong to Christ. The church wants to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to music. Folks, do you realize there is good music, godly music, and there is ungodly music? There is music that pleases God, that glorifies His name, and there is music that doesn't. Yet we have movements within the church today that want to bring in the world's music to the church and say we ought to be just like the world. Yet God says we ought to be distinct, we ought to be different. We want to wipe away the lines of distinction when it comes to entertainment. We want to be able to do all the things that the world does today. But it's that world that entrapped us and ensnared us, that world that's enslaved us before. Jesus Christ came and gave His life. God was rich in mercy, where in His great love He loved us and set us free. He paid the ransom. He bought us out of the slave market. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Yet we want to wipe away all those lines of distinction, and God says, I want them there. So through Paul, He reminds us, come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The challenge, the command, is clear. There's a call for separation. But I want you to notice why that call is given. And I want you to consider the aim. Look at the end of verse 17 and look at verse 18. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. By the way, can you just focus with me for a moment on that phrase? Saith the Lord. This is one of those times when this isn't the opinion of a pastor or a preacher. Thus saith the Lord. Here's the command from God Himself. His voice to your ears. Come out from among them and be separate. There's no argument with that. Thus saith the Lord. Why? Why does God give that command? Notice verse 17 again. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We are to make a conscious choice to come out from this world, to separate ourselves from it, so that we might reach this aim, proper fellowship with God the Father. God's desire is that we would enjoy the blessing of fellowship with Him. Again, notice what it says. I will receive you, will be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and daughters. While the choir was practicing tonight, I took some time and I was doing some reading in my office. There was a book by Dr. Fred Moritz called Be Holy. And in the first chapter of that book, he is speaking of the fact that our God is intrinsically holy. It's His very nature to be holy. But there's also the reality that God is transcendently holy. Because He is holy, He is to be glorified. The beauty of His holiness, He sits above His creation. He is set apart because He is holy without sin. But this verse reminds us of the third reality and the wonderful blessing. He is intrinsically holy. Transcendent, but imminently involved in our lives. I want to be with you, to fellowship with you. God says, that's my aim. Why does He say, come out from this world and be distinct from them? So that I can receive you and fellowship with you. See the aim? See His goal in mind? With that in mind, let me ask you the question tonight. Whose fellowship do you want more? The Lord's or the world's? Do you want the fellowship with God the Father or the fellowship with the world? The sad reality is, within Christianity, is this: we proclaim with our lips the Lord, but with our life, we proclaim the world. We've wiped away the lines of distinction. We want to be just like the world. Can I remind you that what you do speaks louder than what you say? Your life and your feet speak louder than the words of your lips. So I ask you again, whose fellowship do you want more? The Lord's or the world's? Because God said, I have a command. Come out be separate, so that you and I, and that's God speaking, you and I can have fellowship one with another. For me to be your father, and you to be my sons and daughters. That leads me to the second main point tonight, and that's the rationalization for separation. The rationalization for separation, look at verses 14 through 16. We understand the command in verse 17 and 18, come out, be separate. Some will still struggle, though, with the necessity to separate from the world, saying, there's still a lot of good things in this world. Why do we have to separate? Not everything is harmful. Well, Paul's going to give us the rationalization for the separation, why we should. Verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with the Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There is, first of all, a rationalization from salvation. We are to separate because we have been saved. Beloved, God saved us from our sins. He did so through the blood of His beloved Son, in whom He was well pleased. He purchased us from the slave market of sin. Has He not, through His power, then called us out of the depths of despair and impending judgment as children of wrath, and made us now His dear sons? We've been made joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. As many as received Him, then gave He power to be the sons of God. Is this world a friend to God? It isn't. This world rejected our Savior. It nailed Him to the cross. Yet we still want to have close ties with this world. The world today mocks His holy name, has relegated Him to but a simple curse word to be used when I'm angry. Yet we blindly follow behind and still offer them our allegiance. We are called to come out and to worship the Lord who redeemed us. Yet we want to use the means of the world to worship Him. Folks, consider the fact that He saved you with a purpose. God has received us. Verse 17 and 18 again, we are the sons of God. And on the basis of that wonderful salvation, how can we not follow the command to separate from this world? This world is not a friend of God's, it's its foe. So for us to say, why do I need to separate? The easiest answer is because He saved me from sin and from this world. Therefore, we ought to separate from it. I think there's another point that the Scripture makes, and that's a rationalization from sanctification. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, Peter writes and says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're to come out of the vain conversations of our past. We're no longer to walk according as we once did, but instead God says we are to be separate. We are to be holy as He is holy. God saved us that He might sanctify us, that He might make us more like His Son. God didn't save you just to keep you from hell. Hope you understand that. God saved you that He might conform you to the image of His Son. Everything that God is doing in your life today is for the purpose of making you like Christ. And He which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He marked out the boundaries that you be conformed to the image of His Son. He saved saved you, that He might sanctify you, that He might set you apart to be His people, and He to be your God. You and I have been saved, set apart, that we might be sanctified. We're to be holy in all manner of conversation as God is holy. Come back though to 2 Corinthians 6. Really, verse 14 through 16 give us the rationalization from simplicity. Paul makes the argument for separation on the merits of simplicity. Folks, when you read verses 14 through 16, if you don't read into it, if you don't put your bias in it, it really makes sense. Because the truth is very simple. We are distinct. We are different. There is no fellowship with God in the world. And you belong to God. You're a child of the King. You're not a child of Satan or the child of wrath any longer. So Paul says it's very simple to understand. So let's look at it quickly tonight. Verses 14 through 16 don't take a lot of scholarly wisdom. You don't have to understand what it means in the Greek and what its tenses are. It's straightforward truth. Paul says in verse 14, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Why? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So ask yourselves the question, where do righteousness and unrighteousness fellowship? Where do they come together? The terms themselves make it for the fact that they're different. One is righteous, one is not. That's why they put the word un, or those letters un in front of it. It's not righteous. There's a distinction even in those terms. What fellowship do we have as those who are righteous with those who are unrighteous? What communion does light have with darkness? Folks, the presence of light includes the absence of darkness. When you take away the light, darkness will follow. But the two cannot coincide together. It's not a hard truth. H.I. Ironside said, if you are a child of God and you marry a child of the devil, you can expect to have problems with your father-in-law. That's why he says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Because where do righteousness and unrighteousness come together? Where do light and darkness coexist? They're opposites. So why do we as believers think that we can have fellowship with unbelievers? Verse 15, he goes on, what concord hath Christ with Belial? As if verse 14 wasn't enough to prove the point, he has to go a step further. What concord does Jesus Christ have with Satan is basically the question. Interesting concept here. The word concord is a musical term. In the Greek, the word leads up to our English word of symphony in the English. What symphony exists? What harmony is there with Jesus Christ and Satan? Where do they agree? They don't. Do they? Not at all. So for us to understand why we separate, because Paul is saying, where does Christ and Belial ever come together? Where does he that believeth with an infidel? We're distinct. We're different. Verse 16 asks the question, what agreement exists between the temple of God and the temple of idols? What fellowship can be between two churches where one exalts the name of Christ and the other one denies Him? How can churches have fellowship when they don't agree? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Absolutely not. Yeah, we want to take away those lines of distinction today. We want us all to come together and all to be one. I've heard since I've been here from time to time some comments from some of the other members of clergy. I still get some emails from the Mount Pearl clergy and inviting me to come to their meetings and their fellowships, and how wonderful it is for us all to join together and have one beautiful prayer service on a Wednesday evening. We want you all to come and be a part of this. And so-and-so who is with the Catholic Church is going to be speaking. Now, folks, the only thing that that is for me to go to is an exercise in futility, because it's going to be hard for me to keep my mouth shut. Amen. It really would. Because we don't agree. And every once in a while, there's a little jab in those emails. There are some who don't think that it's important for them to be there. And I look at all the other emails and everyone's responding, and the only one who doesn't respond is me. I'm okay with that. Because where does the temple of God fellowship with the temple of idols? Go back and read your Old Testament and find out what happened when Israel brought idols in the temple of God. There was judgment. Go back and see what happened to the gods of the Philistines when they brought in the Ark of the Covenant and set it in their temple. And which one fell over and bowed? Why, there is no fellowship there. See the simplicity of the logic? There is no place where righteousness and unrighteousness meet. There is no place where God, Jesus Christ, and Satan come together in agreement. There is no place in the church for idols and true worship. It can't exist. And based on that simplicity, the command follows. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And don't touch the unclean thing. See, the command is clear, but we struggle with the command, but we shouldn't. Based on the argument of salvation, based on the argument of sanctification, based on the argument of simplicity. It's not hard, folks, to understand what God desires of your life and mine. Now I want you to look with me at verse 11 through 13. Often, when we talk about biblical separation, we begin in verse 14, but I think verses 11 through 13 are vitally important. And I want you to see with me the reception of separation. The Bible makes the truth very plain and very clear that there is to be separation in the life of the believer and the life of the church. But that truth is not often received well. Look at verse 11 through 13. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. You might first look at that and say, what does that have to do with separation? Beginning in verse 11, Paul says, my heart is open to you. It's enlarged. The message that I am sharing with you is a message of love. I recognize and realize that many of you won't want to receive it because you've already gone back into the world, yet God is telling you to come out. You don't want the distinction in your home, but God says, I want it there. Separate. You say, why? Because we share this with you because we love you. Why is the message of separation so important? Why do we share it? out of a heart of love, out of a heart of compassion. Paul says, I put forth this message to you. Verse 12, he says, we're not straightened. You're not straightened in us. Basically, what he means by that is, there's no hard feelings in us toward you, but there is with you toward us. And I implore you as a father, enlarge your heart. Hear me for what I'm about to say. There is a simple concept I need you to get. There is no place where righteousness and unrighteousness meet. There is no communion between Jesus Christ and the devil. You can't have idols in the temple of worship. Therefore, you must come out from this world. Therefore, you must separate yourself from this world, so that you can know the joy and blessing of fellowship with God the Father. As a parent, any parent that loves their children, no parent that loves their child will simply let their child do whatever they please. Because some things that please a child are not good for a child. We're going to have a drop-in in our home tonight. There's plenty of food that will be there. But my children don't need to eat 4 and 5 platefuls because it's not good for them. I like some of the things that we have there, but you don't eat that much. There are times that they want something and we say, no. Why? Because it's not good for them. There's a need for every parent to put some restrictions on the lives of their children. Why? Because it's right and it's good. Some of the most loving words a parent can ever speak to their child is that one word, no. But everyone else is, oh, no. But I really want to. It would really make me happy. I know, no. Why? Just because they desire to do it doesn't make it good for them. Giving everything to your child without them ever having to earn it leads to entitlement, not enrichment. You can think about that one on your own. We have a massive problem in our generation today with entitlement. And it's there because we have given them everything they've ever wanted and everything they asked for without telling them, no, earn it yourself. And that's why we have a society filled with lazy people that refuse to work. A good parent understands that there are certain things that are harmful and deadly, so they give warnings and restrictions. God is a loving Heavenly Father who knows what's best for us. Folks, he understands the end from the beginning. See, you look at it and say, this isn't a problem. God says, I know the end of that path. Folks, remember, every road you travel has a destination. And sometimes you and I don't know what that destination is, but God does. So he says, come out from among this world and be ye separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. I know it's not popular today. Talk about biblical separation. Sometimes families begin to think, well, Pastor, don't you dictate what we should do within our home? Okay, I'm not. God is. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I didn't tell you that. Your Heavenly Father did. Well, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not convicted by it. It's not whether or not you and I have a problem with it. It's whether or not God has a problem with it. You understand the difference between the two? Because God is intrinsically holy, and he is, it is God who determines right from wrong. Not you, not me. Not our interpretation of it. God determines the standard. God sets the standards. You and I cannot determine the standard of holiness because we're not holy. God is. He is completely separate from any sin, so He has the right to set the standard, and He has. You say, where do I find that? God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Word. Here is a principle for all of us. In fact, it's a clear command. Live a life separate from this world. God in love sent Jesus Christ to die for you. You needed that because of your sin. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. By His stripes we were healed. Why were you and I saved? We were saved that we might have restored again the beautiful fellowship with God. We went astray. We chose to sin. God chose to love. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He redeemed you who were children of wrath. Because God is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us. By grace you were saved through faith. It was not of yourselves, it was the gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. But you were created in Christ Jesus, a new workman. Created that you might do good works for the glory of God. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, you are now to do all things for the glory of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You are not your own. Therefore, you are to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. And in light of the mercies of God, you are to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Stop, therefore, being transformed to this world. Conformed to this world. Stop being molded into their image, but instead be transformed, be remodeled completely, strip out the old, put in the new, the renewing of your mind. Folks, biblical separation isn't a concept that ought to irritate us. It ought to be one that excites us. Because God said, I placed it there for a purpose that you would know the blessing and joy of my fellowship. That fellowship that the psalmist wrote about in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder why David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Who abides with God in His holy hill? Those who come out from among this world and are separate, saith the Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight. Whose fellowship do you want more? God's or this world's? The test of that is simply found in the choices that you make, not the words that you say. God wants us to care more and to give our lives fully to Him. That requires us coming out from this world and being separate from it. This world has never offered to you or I anything of any good or value. It has sought to ensnare us, ensnare us, and enslave us. And the Bible says when sin is finished with you, it only brings death. But in Christ is life, abundant and free. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things of this world are passed away, and all things now have become new. Folks, our heart is enlarged unto you. And I say that as the one who has the responsibility to speak for God in this church as his pastor. God's heart is enlarged to you. There's a very simple truth that he wants you to get tonight. Come out from this world and be separate, distinct from it. We've talked about recently that you and I have been saved to serve. We've talked about having a sensitive heart towards God. All of that is to help us understand that simple concept. We must come out from this world and be different. It ought to be seen in us in every way. Pray with me, please, as we close tonight.